Please turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. We begin a new adventure this year. Power for living. If we are to bring glory to God in everything that we do, how do we do that? What's the resource we need in order to accomplish that purpose in our lives? We need the power of God within us, and that's going to be the substance of our study this morning and throughout this year. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful little verse of Scripture. Thank you for the presence of Christ through your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you that with that presence, there is available to us all the resources of your divine person. Help us to understand the implication of this verse of Scripture as we begin a new study this year, and teach us how to draw upon the resource of the strength of Christ within us to live victoriously in this life. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Energy is a significant commodity. We have a Department of Energy in the government, and energy is on the minds of people all over the world. What kind of energy are we going to have? Are we going to use fossil fuel energy? Or are we going to use wind or solar? Or what is going to be the kind of energy that is going to help us do all the things we need to do as human beings? Energy. It's on the minds of people. Our bodies also need energy. That's why you eat. If you don't eat, you won't have the energy you need to do what you need to do. Also, sleep helps to rejuvenate your whole system and revive the energy that is within you. Also, our inner man needs energy. There are two components to our inner man, our soul and our spirit. These two components of our inner man need energy to function in a way that will allow us to bring glory to God in every aspect of our lives and fulfill His righteousness. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Well, it takes energy to walk, doesn't it? Sure it does. And so the Bible says to us, be strong, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We have Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 where it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. You notice in each of those verses, however, when it tells us to be strong, it points us to the resource that makes that possible. And that is God Himself. With that, we come to this verse, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I want to first bring our attention to that word which. A lot of people want to change it to the word who, so that the verse would read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the word who was not unfamiliar to those who translated the King James Version. The word who appears in the King James, how many times? 867 times. So it wasn't that they didn't know about that word. Why did they choose the word which instead of who? I suggest it was on purpose. And there's a reason the word which is in this verse instead of who. The word which is translated from Strong's number 3588. It is translated who 87 times. For example, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, one God and Father of all who is above all. Same word that's translated which here. But this word 3588 is translated 405 times which. For example, back a couple of pages or one page to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. The word which designates which one out of more than one to choose from. Mother may come into the kitchen and there are two children there and the cookies are all gone. And she might say, which one of you ate the cookies? That's an appropriate word, use of the word which in reference to people, because it's distinguishing between more than one. Now, there might not be anyone there that looks guilty, and so she comes into the kitchen and could say, who ate the cookies? Because she doesn't have any idea. She wants to know who. But if there are two children there, she wants to know, or more children, she wants to know which one. That is the function of the word which here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You see, there is more than one potential source from which we might attempt to draw strength. And it is Christ, which is the one who actually does strengthen us. The Bible makes reference to people attempting to be strong in other sources, and I thought we'd take a little time and look at those this morning. We go back to Job chapter 15. Job chapter 15, beginning in verse 20, and we will see the wicked man. Job chapter 15, verse 20. Eliphaz is speaking, one of Job's friends, and he refers to the wicked man. And he says in verse 20, the wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. A dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity the destroyer shall come upon him. He believeth not that he shall return out of darkness, and he is waited for of the sword. He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at hand. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to battle. And so in the midst of all of these troubling circumstances, what does he do? Verse 25. For he stretcheth out his hand against God, and strengtheneth himself against the Almighty. The wicked man is looking to himself for strength. That's where a lot of people look these days for strength. They look to themselves. I can do it myself. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. Verse 28. And he dwelleth in desolate cities and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth. He shall not depart out of darkness. The flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of his mouth shall he go away. Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. Seeking to be strong within yourself causes, I'll use the word, implosion. Have you ever watched them take down one of those great big tall buildings right in the middle of a city? They go into the building and they put explosives at very strategic places inside of the building. And at the appropriate moment, they ignite these explosions in the right places, in the right series of explosions, and the whole building just collapses inside itself and boom, right down. You ever see one? That's amazing how they can do that. That's implosion. That's what happens to a person who trusts in himself for the strength that he needs to deal with the impossible circumstances of life. He implodes. He destroys himself from within. Because there's nothing about a human being that is strong enough to hold himself up. And all the attempts to trust in himself throughout his life are vain, vanity, empty. And it sets these explosions at strategic places in his life and just implodes. Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 1. Here we see the mighty man. Now, in this case, when you hear mighty man, you might think somebody that's trusting in his muscles. But the mighty man trusts in something different, something else. In verse 1, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischiefs like a razor sharp, working deceitfully. Verse 3, thou lovest evil more than good. Verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words. Jump down to verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. He's trusting in money. And this doesn't work either. Verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Do you know this is the device that the Antichrist is going to use in the end times? Daniel chapter 11 and verse 2. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 2. This is sort of a prelude to the Antichrist. This is the historical part of the chapter. But it lays the groundwork for that. It's a background to it. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 2. But now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Strength through his riches. It's amazing how much confidence money can give to people. Remember the rich man and his new barns over in Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to the soul, to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Why, he had so much, he felt so confident. He was just going to have a wonderful life for a long time. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The very night that he filled his barns and felt so confident that he was going to live for a long time in ease, he died. You know, trusting in riches, I would liken to protecting yourself against fire with a sheet of paper. How's that going to work? Paper's flammable, isn't it? You know, fire comes and you say, whoa, I got to protect myself. Bring up this sheet of paper. I'll protect myself with a sheet of paper. Well, that's not going to do you any good. Paper's just going to burn up and you'll be in trouble anyway. There's no more advantage to trusting in riches for strength to live, to endure, to survive. So the wicked man trusts in himself for the strength that he needs. He strengthens himself against the Almighty. It doesn't work. The mighty man trusts in his riches. That doesn't work. What do kings look to? 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. I would venture to say that more of us are more aware of what's going on in government and the nations of the world today than we were bothered to pay attention to 50 years ago. It seems to me, when I was a young man, that you could go for weeks at a time and not even think about what was going on in the government. Anybody else relate to that? You knew it was there, but it wasn't in the news every moment of every day. What are kings looking to? 2 Kings chapter 20. Let's go down. Oh. Is it 1 Kings? Yeah, it's 1 Kings chapter 20. Sorry. 1 Kings chapter 20. I was going to tell you to go to verse 23 in the chapter, and there aren't 23 verses. In 2 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. Actually, we'll start in verse 21. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And so in verse 23, we have the servants of the king of Syria explaining to the king of Syria why they lost and what they need to do to win. And so it says in the servants, verse 23, the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their God of gods are of the hills. Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. So, you know, their God, he's the God of the hills, and that's where we were fighting. So that's his territory. We need to bring them into the territory of our God. And then everything will be okay. But that wasn't all. I mean, I think deep down inside they knew their gods weren't going to do much for them. So they looked to something else. Verse 24. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. So they said, we have to have enough soldiers, we have to have enough horses, we have to have enough chariots. If we have a strong enough military, we can win. Did it work? Verse 26. It came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered, and all were present, and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. So now the Syrians have a bigger army, and they have more horses, and they have more chariots, and they're in the plain. Verse 28. There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians and 100,000 footmen. In one day. How'd that big army work out for you? Now, we're not talking about the politics of peace through strength and strengthening of our military and all of that. We're talking about where your real trust is. America can have the strongest military in the world with the most intelligent technology, the mightiest weapons, and the biggest bombs. But if we turn our back on the Lord, none of that will matter. Or how about us individuals? We might have the most sophisticated security system installed in our home. We might have a loaded gun ready to protect ourselves. But if we turn our back on the Lord, God can put holes in the most sophisticated security system. You see, it is Christ which is the one who actually can strengthen us to deal with the circumstances of life. Moses acknowledged that our strength must come from the Lord back in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, this was right after they were delivered from the Egyptian army by crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Remember, the king of Syria was trusting in his horses and his chariots. What happened to the horses and chariots of the Egyptians? Cast into the sea. Because, verse 2, the Lord is my strength. What did the Israelites do to destroy the army of the Egyptians? Nothing, except trust God. You know, it took a measure of faith to walk across the Red Sea with those waters parted. Is it going to hold? You realize that the place where they crossed was 8 miles wide. How long does it take you to walk 8 miles? 40 minutes? No? Well, it'll take me an hour. Half hour? How? 8 miles? 2.5 hours. It would take me a long time, I know. 2.5 hours. Can you imagine walking through there with that water 100 feet high? Because the land bridge where they walked across is 100 feet underwater. Now, on either side of the land bridge, it drops down to about 8,000 feet, but it's 100 feet deep where they walked across. So the water was 100 feet high on each side of them. The land bridge is a half mile wide. So, you know, that, you know, you can see that pretty easily. Here's these 100-foot walls of water on either side of you. That took a little bit of faith to walk through there. They trusted in the power of God and were delivered. The Egyptians trusted in their mighty military and they were drowned in the sea. Verse 4 of Exodus chapter 15, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, and which consumed them as stubble. Go over to Psalm 18, verse 32. Psalm 18, and verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. There's a kind of glue that comes in two parts. It has a resin and a hardener. Some of you men have used that. Well, maybe ladies have too. Sorry. Don't leave you out, but use that kind of glue. If you just apply the resin and you don't apply the hardener, what happens? Nothing. Nothing. God's strength is like the hardener. Unless we apply the strength of God, unless we draw upon the strength of God in our lives, unless that is the effective component in our lives, all of these other things will mean absolutely nothing. It is Christ which actually strengthens us. And as a result of Christ strengthening us, there are no limits to what we can overcome. So that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which is the one who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Why can I do all things through Christ? Because he's the one which strengthens me. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 puts it in a different way, but saying the same thing. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter? Nay, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because we can do all things through Christ, which is the one who strengthens us. With the strength of Christ, there is no limit to what we can achieve. Because of God's available power, it is not a matter of ability. It's a matter of choice. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which is the one who strengthens me. I can, but will I? Which one will you look to for the energy you need, for the confidence you need, for the strength you need to deal with life? Now, obviously, you have to be born again and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you in order for this to be available to you. Understand? It's like being plugged in. If you're plugged in to the source, then all you need to do is turn the switch on. You're already plugged in. Now, think, you've been going to a laundromat for a long time and you decide, I'm going to buy a washing machine and bring the washing machine home. So you buy the washing machine, you bring it home, you hook up the water, you plug it into the electric, it's all ready to go. But you kind of miss going to the laundromat, so you go to the laundromat and do your laundry anyway. Why would you do that? If you're plugged in to the divine source of energy, why would you continue to go back to the things of the world and this flesh to draw strength in order to endure the circumstances of life. We're plugged in. If you're born again, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, we're plugged in. And Christ is the one which will really strengthen you to deal with all things in the circumstances of life. Unbelievers don't have a choice. They have no access to the strength of Christ. But we have a choice. It's not much of a choice, granted. Logically, it's not much of a choice. Why would you choose to trust in money if you have available to you the strength of Christ? Why would you choose to trust in yourself if you have available to you the strength of Christ? Why would you trust in a security system when you have available to you the strength of Christ? It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of faith. We can do all things through Christ, which is the one who actually can strengthen us to deal with all the circumstances of life. Will you keep your body healthy? Of course. Will you have to use money in daily commerce? Of course. Do you want your country to build a strong army? Of course. Do you want to be prudent and home and lock the door when you go to bed at night? Of course. But who are you really trusting to make you strong, to keep you safe, to give you the energy you need to deal with all the circumstances of life? I can do all things through Christ, which is the one who really can strengthen me to do all of those things. Trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this wonderful truth. Thank You for the availability of the strength of Christ in our lives who are in Christ. Thank You for all that Christ did to make that possible. As we pursue this thought of trusting in You for the strength we need to see You work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure, increase our faith this year. Increase our faithfulness to Christ, which is really the one who can strengthen us for all these things. I pray in Jesus' name.